Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. We're visiting again today with Louise Nonwheeler. She is a hypnotherapist from the UK and a really cool person. She's been on the show before. So we're going to do a little bit of catching up today. Louise, thanks for being here, taking the time to do this today.
Thank you, Brian. It's such a pleasure to be back on and to be talking to you. It's really nice. Thank you.
Well, and it's been a while. So I know you had a lot of stuff going on since we were working together. It's been about a year. And so like one of your projects was toward the end of the year. What kind of things have you had going on that have been a little different or new since we last talked and caught up?
Yes, it has been a year. It's been a long time, hasn't it? But yeah. I guess, you know, last year for me, it was a very busy year, really busy. It was about creation, really. So I launched a new ebook for traders, Traders Mind Reset ebook. And also I launched a new course this year, Funded Trader Mastery. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just sort of being on social media, obviously the podcast as well, Trading in the Zen. That's been going really well. So yeah, just a combination of a few different things really, but it's all going well and it's helping traders. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah, and I remember, I mean, I'm on your mailing list, of course. So I can see when you have new stuff coming out and you publish excellent articles when you do, you know, take the time to write them. So, now one thing that I would really like to get into a little bit with you today, that I think is going to be of value for everybody is helping everybody understand, because you know everybody's you know knows about trading psychology being so important for traders and all that kind of stuff, but there are a lot of different angles or perspectives on the matter. And one of the reasons I'm always excited to interview you is because I think you've got a very unique approach to it, and it's very effective. One, you know, it's not new; it's like you didn't invent it, but you've really been able to bring it into trading in a way that's very effective, and that's with the hypnotherapy. And so, you know, what really from a, you know, psychological perspective, because, you know, with traders, I mean, what would you say are the more common issues that traders are running into from a psychological perspective, you know, when they're coming to you? What kind of stuff are they usually running into?
So I think it's important to remember that, you know, everything we do basically sort of stems from the subconscious, and that's including trading and trading behaviors. Mm-hmm. So going on to your question, It really stems from one thing or two things, fears and limiting beliefs. So when I work with traders and, you know, we have a chat, I can very quickly pick up patterns and hear things. And I'm like, okay, there's something going on with self-sabotage, because I can hear in, you know, the trader's language that perhaps there's a lack of self-worth. So we'd look at that. So I think generally, most of the issues that traders experience it can seem like a lot, it can feel overwhelming, but it literally comes down to a couple of things. And so I think it's really important, not just in trading, but in life, you know, even sort of physical issues, to always try and get to the root cause or causes as to why something's going on. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, now you mentioned them separately. You said fears and limiting beliefs. Now limiting beliefs, of course, and well, we'll dive deep into the limiting beliefs here in a minute, but how do you distinguish, fears from limiting beliefs, where you like present them separately? How do you see the difference?
It's a good question, really, because they can be attached. So say, for instance, if somebody has a fear around or a negative relationship, limiting belief around money, they're going to have a fear about embracing success. So they, you know, there can be a real strong link between limiting beliefs and fears. However, we've also got the primitive brain, that dinosaur brain, that in a way keeps us safe, you know, and it's something that we can't suppress. It's something that we shouldn't suppress, but basically it's our kind of physiology and our way of saying there's a threat going on. And so we feel it really physically. So if we feel in danger or a threat, so for a trader, loss of capital, losses, etc., then what happens is the fight or flight will come in. So that kind of fear response. And then that's generally when traders go on tilt. So their heart will race, they'll lose focus, their hands are clammy. They're not trading logically, they're trading irrationally. And that's a real kind of fear response.
Yeah, no, I grin because it's just this word I've heard a lot over the last few months. And I don't know why, because up until maybe probably about 6 months ago, I hadn't really heard hardly anybody use it. And like I said, lately, it's like almost everybody that I'm talking to, they're talking about, yeah, you know, go on tilt. And all that. So, but I love it because it's, you know, it's a visual word, but it's so appropriate for, yeah, trading. Because it's like, yeah, I'm over here, I'm off balance, I'm struggling. And so, yeah, that now with the limiting beliefs, and this is one, like I said, I really want to spend a little bit of time with you on this because I think it's important. I mean, most people will recognize that, yes, limiting beliefs, of course, that's going to be something that inhibits you if you have limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
But where, like when I first heard about them years ago and started looking into it, the problem I had was, well, if I've got limiting beliefs, how do I address them? How do I fix them? Because especially if it's something that's kind of deeply ingrained and maybe, you know, like from my childhood or something, you know, just something that I grew up hearing all the time, you know, like, you know, money is the root of all evil or something like that. You know, addressing those beliefs and, well, uncovering what's actually like the root belief underneath it all. How does hypnotherapy actually help to get down to the very root of the problem?
I love this question. And you're talking about something I'm really passionate about, obviously hypnosis and hypnotherapy, but also beliefs, you know, and, you know, we've had this conversation before or a conversation about beliefs, but it's so, so important for everybody. Now, the first thing is it can be really difficult to identify exactly what our limiting beliefs are.
Oh, yeah.
But there's various, number one, so there's various ways where you can start to identify limiting beliefs. You know, you start to look at your relationship to success, to money, to your self-worth, things like that. And if something's off balance and not how you really want it to be on a conscious level, then there is something going on subconscious, which is probably a limiting belief. Huh. Now, the good news is our subconscious mind knows everything about us. It knows everything, including our limiting beliefs. And so if somebody works with their subconscious mind through meditation, self-hypnosis, journaling, they can access that part where their mind's silent to start to kind of really identify the limiting beliefs. And then when that happens, you're in a position where you can start to change that. Challenge them and change that. And if I'm honest, the fastest way to change limiting beliefs is by working with the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, now as far as hypnosis, because I mean, that hypnosis is when you're talking directly to the subconscious, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's many, many different techniques with hypnosis, many techniques, but it generally is about guiding a person into a relaxed place, simply because that's a time where the conscious part of the mind starts to quieten down and the subconscious is more kind of open and receptive. And it's literally about talking to the subconscious mind, the person's subconscious mind, or if you're doing self-hypnosis, you know, your own sort of subconscious. And it really is about changing, reframing, eliminating. Now, it's important to be mindful that any changes that a person does not want to see is never going to happen. And it's simply because the subconscious knows everything about them and it knows what changes they want and what they don't want. So it's remarkable how it works.
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because And I'd love to hear your perspective on this and your experience with working with people. Because I remember hearing years ago that you can have an internal conflict between what you consciously say you want and subconsciously what you want. Mm. And so, you know, we're talking about limiting beliefs, but in your experience, when you're working with people, what kind of conflicts in particular would you say you've run into, and situations or maybe examples, if you can, share any, on where, yeah, somebody would say something like, yeah, I want to be successful, I want to be a millionaire, and what when you're working with them under hypnosis, what kind of stuff are you coming up that their subconscious might be kind of sitting on saying, no, I disagree. And so, yeah, I mean, what might be a couple of examples of that? Because I mean, like you're saying, if you look at your life, that's really going to tell you what your beliefs are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
So.
that's another good question. So what can happen is sometimes when a person's going into hypnosis or they're in hypnosis, say for instance, I'm saying, you'll start to feel better, you're trading with more consistency, you feel good about yourself, things like that, your confidence is growing. What might happen in that space is their conscious part of the mind is going, I don't believe that. No, we're not going to have that, like sort of the chimp mind. Now, that's absolutely fine. And I say to clients, let it go. That's absolutely fine. It's natural to, for that, for sometimes those thought patterns to come up. However, the good news is the subconscious part of the mind will always eventually override the conscious part of the mind because it's so much more powerful. It's a powerhouse, our subconscious. And so eventually what will happen, even if it's kind of a couple of sessions, is clients will start to say, yeah, I don't have that negative self-talk anymore. It's because the subconscious has started to absorb and change things for us or for them. So,
Finally giving up the argument, huh?
yeah, that tug of war starts to reduce.
Huh. Well, now as far as hypnosis, so you say it's getting somebody into a relaxed state, but again, just for our audience, for people who aren't all that familiar with hypnosis, or maybe they've seen stage hypnosis, where people are kind of supposedly talked into doing odd things, like walking around like a chicken and stuff like that. So what's going on in a person's brain when they're under hypnosis? Or, I mean, are they still awake, or are they kind of in a trance and unaware of their surroundings, or what?
There's different levels of hypnosis. So there's that really light level of hypnosis. And I'll give you an example. So say for instance, when we get in our car and we drive and we get to the destination, more often than not, we go, don't remember that journey much. We're in kind of that daydream. That's
I've
me.
done that a lot, yeah.
Light hypnosis. And we're kind of in hypnosis all day, every day in light hypnosis, is that kind of dreamlike state. Now, there are very different levels of hypnosis. Generally, the hypnosis that clients first see is 1 minute they'll hear what I'm saying and then they'll drift out. And then it's kind of like they're going in between the state of awake and asleep. And it's really quiet. It feels like sort of nice waves of relaxation. And then you can get very, very deep with hypnosis where your body is super heavy, but your mind, like you'll hear a pin drop. Your senses are super sharp because you're in that real space. So, yeah, there's different levels of hypnosis. I've been in all of them over the
Well,
years.
so when you're in one of the deeper states, how's that different from being asleep? I mean, because I've experimented with stuff, and I haven't worked with you yet, as far as actually, and I mean, I've never been hypnotized, and but I've always been curious. There's a part of me that's, I don't know, a little guarded, but what's the experience like when you get into a deep hypnotic trance versus when you're drifting off to sleep or something like that?
I would describe it personally. I can't sort of, everybody's kind of views on it are different. But for me, when I've been in that space, I would class it as bliss. It is absolute bliss. It's like, it's very, very, it's the same state as meditation, but you just feel so relaxed in your body, like your senses are heightened and there's just absolute peace. You
So
just become the observer of your thoughts. And yeah.
are you still
So,
very well aware of your surroundings, and are you in like a conscious
very
state?
much.
Okay. All right. I had to ask because, like, a lot of times, well, yeah, when I'm meditating or whatever, sometimes it's like I'll lose awareness of my surrounding, and I'm not necessarily asleep. I'm still kind of consciously thinking, but mentally I've gone somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just kind of it's a really nice, peaceful place to be, really. And when we're in that place where our conscious mind, you know, we've got that silence, our subconscious, I mean, it's our subconscious never sleeps, it's always awake. Like I said, it's a powerhouse, but it's more sort of receptive to absorbing images, suggestions, and so forth.
Well, now, so we have different states of mind or states of consciousness that you deal with hypnotherapy. How can a person kind of guard their mentality if they're, say, they've got stuff going on in the background, like listening to CNBC or some other, news channel or something like that while they're trading? They're not necessarily paying attention to it, but it's back there playing and they're hearing it and very likely hearing it on a subconscious level, even if they're not hearing it consciously. And just things in general, how can a person, like I said, kind of guard their mentality so that they're not picking up stuff by default and having stuff put in their head that they're not aware of, and especially into their subconscious?
Well, that's a good point, actually. You know, it's not just what we feed our body, it's what we feed our mind. I mean, for me, I don't watch mainstream media. I haven't watched it for years. I have no interest in it. That's my personal choice.
It's funny you bring that up. I'm the same way. I haven't had regular TV for years. And the other day I just happened to be passing through a room and they had a regular show, and I think it was The Sopranos or something like that. And I stopped and there was a little commercial break. And years ago, it would you you know it would be three, maybe five commercials. There were 32 commercials in this one
Wow.
commercial break. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, they were shorter, but it was just one after another after another after another, and a whole lot of visual
Yeah.
stimulus and stuff like this. And I'm like, oh my, yeah, no wonder I quit doing this.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's crazy, and it's shortening people's attention span. Like apparently now people's attention span, especially on social media, is 6 seconds. I mean, it's like so I think it's going back to your question, it's really important what we feed our mind. For me, I don't watch any of that. I don't watch TV. I watch documentaries, I read a lot, you know, I spend a lot of time in nature and so forth. But before I go to sleep, before a person goes to sleep, it's really important what they listen to or what they're watching or feed their mind. And yeah,
Oh
it's
yeah.
the most important time is before we're just about to go to sleep. So I would strongly suggest not to be reading the news and kind of
And definitely
flashing images and
staying
things
off of
like that. And
Facebook.
yeah, that's just a suggestion. It's yeah, but.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. Because I had to make it a rule for myself as part of my evening routine. It's like, yeah, at least an hour before bed, it's like I just stay off of all that stuff, because I went through a spell where I was on Facebook every night toward the end of the day, and not only is it like a mind suck anyway, it's like I get in there, I'm just going to check a couple of things, and it's like an hour later, it's like, oh my God, it's just that quick,
Yeah,
it's gone.
you lose time.
But I've found that I would be dreaming about this stuff all night long, and I'd wake up thinking about this stuff, and it's like, I just got to stop doing this to myself.
Yeah. I've done it before myself. Like I've seen some stuff on Instagram Reels and I've had dreams, and I not generally have very good dreams, but that night I was like, no, it has to stop. So most nights for me, I listen to my hypnosis, but yeah, depends.
Well, so as far as like an evening routine, because you're bringing up something really important here. A lot of people they like to talk about morning routines, but your morning really is largely dictated by what you do the night before and the sleep that you get. So what are some suggestions that you might have for an evening routine for people that, they want to be able to sleep well and wake up refreshed and in a good mental state, especially for their trading day. What are some things you'd recommend for like an evening routine?
Yeah, that's another good question. I guess everybody's lifestyle's different. You know, some
Oh,
people have
sure.
families and so forth, but I think number one, sleep is fun, you know, it's a non-negotiable.
Oh, yeah.
The quality and quantity of our sleep is so important. And for me, that's one of the things that always comes first. You know, I think that a person should get at least 7 hours good sleep if possible. And, you know, there's ways, there's it's important to kind of have that good environment, you know, like a dark room, perhaps switching off. I like to have things like Epsom salt baths and things like that, you know, going for a walk in nature before. But I think it's also kind of taking that time, if a person can, to wind down and relax, maybe do some journaling. For me, I don't have like a massive dinner before I go to sleep. I kind of eat quite early because of the digestive system. But you know, I'm not a qualified or professional nutritionist. However, after doing a lot of research kind of on our health, our gut, and our body, it's become very evident that most people, or a lot of people, are deficient in magnesium.
Oh,
As I mentioned, I'm not a professional nutritionist, but there's a lot of studies and research now. And magnesium can be connected, obviously, to our immune system, but also to sleep as well. So, yeah. So I think it's about having a good kind of, if possible, relaxing evening, and maybe just set an intention for the next day as well.
oh, yeah. Well, just as far as general good advice, and not necessarily again being a health practitioner, just it only makes sense that, and I've always raised with all my kids, I've impressed upon them, like starting at an early age, it's like make sure that you're eating healthy, and yeah, take vitamin supplements just to make sure. But it's funny because like all their grown up years, and even now that they're like adults and on their own, they know that if they're not feeling well, or they start to come down with something, it's like, no, don't run to the doctor and get a prescription for some medication. Go load up on your vitamins, eat some good food, get some rest, drink a lot of water, give your body what it needs. It's you have a wonderful intelligence that's living in your body. If you'll just give it what it needs, it can take care of most things.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
it's a system that got designed by Mother Nature thousands of years ago, and it's kept our species on the planet very well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, I'm fascinated by, you know, our bodies, and you know, the intelligence of it. It's absolutely amazing what it can do, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, I've always geeked out about it. Just, I mean, because like my degree was mechanical engineering, but biology has always fascinated me. But even from an engineering standpoint, if you look at the design and the construction of the human body and all that it can do, just naturally, or even stepping outside and looking at animals or plants, and it's like the design that went into all this to be able to take light and water and dirt, and now you have this, and it's like, wow, holy cow, it's freaking amazing. So
Absolutely.
yeah, but yeah, even just for our body to be able to take food, and you eat it and it knows what to do with it to regenerate your body, to provide you energy, to heal you if you got an injury or whatever. It's like, man, yeah, it's amazing the intelligence that lives in our body. And so
It
yeah, just give it
absolutely.
what it needs. I mean, one of my favorite quotes used to be, and I would poke my daughter with it. My daughter's a nurse, but and she'd be talking about something going on, latest developments in the medical field. And I would poke her every now and then just to get make her react and be like, yeah, the doctor may set the bone, but it's the body that heals
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Well,
it.
wise words, wise words. Somebody said to me once, the only thing that gets in the way of our healing is ourself.
Oh yeah.
And one of the best books I've actually read, Dr. Bruce Lipton, is The Biology of Belief. Fascinating book. And it really opens your eyes and your mind to what the body can do, you know, just with the power of belief. And it's fascinating.
True,
It's
true.
excellent studies as well.
Oh yeah. Well, and kind of bringing it all back to what you do, really, helping people with dealing with their mentality and their psychology. If you maintain a good, healthy mentality, that goes a long way toward your body staying healthy, and vice
Out
versa.
a
And
hundred
well,
percent.
and the other thing, and this is for all the traders that are listening, if you're feeling stressed out about your trading, or maybe your trading's suffering a little bit because you have challenges going on in your life or whatever, if you find yourself in a stressful period and things are challenging, make sure you take care of yourself physically. so that you're bringing your best self to deal with your challenging circumstances. Don't go start doing unhealthy things that are only going to make it more difficult. Take good care of yourself, especially if you're having a rough time. That's the most important time to make sure you're taking good care of yourself physically and mentally. So.
I absolutely 100% agree. Stress is one of the worst, probably the worst thing for our body.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously we're human. We do have times where we feel stressed and we go through challenges, but I think it's having the tools and the techniques and the ways to deal and manage with stress better. Even if it's just talking to a loved one or family friend, it's really important to find those ways to not hold on to that stress, just to kind of work through it as best as possible in a healthy way.
Oh, yeah. Well, in a long time forgotten secret, if you want to call it that, pets are awesome for that. A good dog or a
Pets.
good cat or whatever kind of animal you got. And well, just the fact that they don't speak English or whatever language you speak, they don't speak human. They just are happy to be here, hanging out with you. And you want to talk to them and share your woes. Sure, they're happy to listen, let's pet them and talk to them, and they're great
That, I mean, I
listeners.
love animals. I love animals. I've got a cat actually, Blossom. But yeah, I mean, they're very intuitive
Oh,
animals.
yeah.
They just, if you're having a bad day, they'll come up and cuddle you, or it's yeah.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
they're very special.
Well, the physical touch is huge. Just physical contact. And that, again, for traders, the isolation of trading can be one of the really compounding factors if you are feeling stressed or you're struggling. And so, make sure that not only are you dealing, working on the mental stuff, but yeah, if you're feeling stressed or worn out or whatever, you got a spouse or a loved one or kids or whatever, give them a hug for them. But it does a world of good for you too. Just that human contact is amazing what it can do physiologically and mentally. So, besides, it's just kind of cool,
It is important, and especially I think after a trading session, if you think the nervous system is running at an all-time high, adrenaline, emotions, and generally when traders finish their session, it can be pretty exhausting. Like traders can just feel wiped. And I think it's nice just to, again, have ways, or just have a hug, or go and walk barefoot in nature, or whatever works, just to kind of re release that stress and to relax and to come back into balance.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, so let's kind of bring things back to what you say. You had the ebook come out, and you got the new course. Refresh my memory. It's been a little while since I looked at it. I remember when you first launched it. I was looking at it. But go ahead and tell us about your new course. How's that? Yeah, just go ahead and tell us about it, because I know you worked quite a while on it in preparing for the launch and everything, and you put a lot of effort and thought into the course itself. So what's in your course, and who would it be for?
So I didn't ever see myself creating this course, but one day I kind of woke up and I was like, why haven't I created this course before? So it's called Funded Trader Mastery Course,
Okay.
and it specifically is for traders looking to become funded. And I think probably one of the things that made me realize I need to create this course is because working with one-to-one trading clients, most of my clients are funded or looking to get funded, and it's just on the incline, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
However, when traders have come to me, it's like what I found a pattern is: I can get funded, I can pass the phase one, phase two, etc. I can't get to the payout, and I was like, need to kind of look deeper into this. And so that's one of the reasons why I created the course. It literally kind of it works. Obviously, I only work my courses work on a subconscious level, but it took a couple of months to create and design and kind of really get all the content. But it works in a way, and structured in a way like all my courses, where it will start with the belief system. It will start to bring in kind of the blueprint around being a funded trader, and then as the audios go on, it helps traders to get to peak performance, to achieve being a funded trader to be able to manage multiple accounts and pretty much everything. And it works on obviously the psychology of trading as well, and all of the kind of challenges that traders experience.
Yeah, actually, you just mentioned something, and I'm glad you brought it up because, along with trading a funded account versus your own money, I mean, that was a big change for a lot of traders. Brought a lot of new players into the trading space that weren't otherwise here. But one of the things I found really common, especially with people wanting to go the funded trader or the funded path, is like you said, running multiple accounts, sometimes a lot of them. I mean, I talked to one guy the other day. He was running like 30 accounts.
Wow.
And so that presents a whole different mental challenge than if you're just trading your own account where you might have one or two or three, maybe. But yeah, if you're trying to manage not only, all the different things you might be trading, but tons of different accounts and cycling in and out of them, like you're talking about, yeah, that's another real common problem. So that's very cool that you're addressing those matters specifically, because yeah, becoming very common issues that, 10 years ago just weren't around. Yeah, new challenges to deal with. So cool.
And it's interesting going on to what you said, like more recently working with one-to-one clients, I've said to them, there's been a couple of traders I've said, look, let's bring it back. Let's take it from kind of 10 accounts. Let's start with one, slow and steady. And it's unbelievable that they've now got payouts because their psychology, the stress. And it's like in trading, yeah, it's there's so much opportunity, isn't it? But it's a psychology, and you can set yourself up for too much pressure. It's about starting slow and building, scaling up.
Oh yeah, agree. Now the reason I laughed is when you're in the middle of that statement, it was like the phrase I heard it a while back, and I love it. It's like multitasking is not a good thing. It's a way to do a lot of things badly. And yeah, trying to trade a lot of accounts. So yeah, simplifying it down to one. Yeah, that's usually like step one. It's like, let's stop with the chaos. So yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it really is. It's almost like traders should have an internal checklist. And what I mean by that is, okay, if say for instance a trader's got five accounts, how are they feeling? Are they feeling stressed? Why are they feeling stressed? Really, like we know that self-awareness is key, one of the key elements to trading success. So really checking in, how are you feeling? Do you feel stressed? Why do you feel stressed? How would I feel with two accounts? Better. Okay, let's work with that. So it's really kind of being curious about this, and I think it's a balance between achieving but not getting too stressed.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, so as far as your new course, so if somebody wants to find out more about that, they should just come to your site, or is there refresh my mind. So what's the URL they should put in their browser if they want to come visit you? I mean, I'll put it in the show notes, but
My UK website is www.hypnosisfortraders,
that's right.
one word, .co.uk. And there's pretty much everything on there. There's like free resources as well, like the ebook, some audios. But yeah, the Funded Trader Mastery course is on there as well, and different packages. There is a lot of information, but it's all there. And if traders are interested in finding out more, if they've got questions, they can always book a consultation with myself as well.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, if nothing else, definitely everybody, you want to swing by the site and at least pick up the free ebook so that you can get Louise's insights that she shares in that, and also get in addition to having listened to the conversation today, you can get a little bit deeper feel for how she operates and how she looks at things. And if you've been struggling at all with your trading, well, she helps you deal with stuff like we've been talking about through this whole conversation at the subconscious level, which is really critical, because you can wrestle with something consciously all day long, but if your subconscious thinks differently, your subconscious is almost always going to win out and keep things going that way. So you really got to deal with subconscious stuff. And Louise is fantastic about this. I'm always excited to have her on the show because it's like, yeah, as far as hypnotherapy and just a really good understanding of the human psyche when it comes to trading, and especially the subconscious, she's definitely one of the best out there. So always jazzed to have you on here. And yeah, again, thanks for taking the time today. This has been awesome catching up with you and everything.
Thanks, Brian. I love our conversations. So yeah, it's been a pleasure, and I'm happy to be more than happy to come back on the show
Yeah,
again, obviously,
yeah.
at
Any
some
before we
point.
wrap up, any final words of wisdom for everybody?
I think really for traders is just please prioritize your health and well-being. Trading is really challenging. Well, it can be really challenging, but it can also be very rewarding. However, if you're kind of feeling at half mast because you're not investing in your health and well-being, then it's just going to kind of burn you out. So I think my advice would be to any trader, just look after yourself first.
Good advice. Good advice. Cool. Well, and also everybody listening, I applaud you for taking time out of your day to, listen to the podcast, seek out learning and growth and development as a trader, and not just chase new strategies and indicators and stuff. I applaud you for that. And again, if you've enjoyed what you've heard today and it makes sense to you, if what Louise shares with you and everything resonates with you, definitely swing by our site and, grab her ebook, a book call if you want to. But don't just, listen to this podcast, say that was cool, and then let it pass. If you could benefit from connecting with Louise, go ahead and reach out to her and, let this be a point where, it made a difference in your trading. So, and with that said, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe. And, if you want to swing by Inside Out Trading, I've got other resources and more, stuff more on the more practical side of trading. But, yeah, go ahead and subscribe to the Consistent Profits podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by insideouttrading.com and pick up your free copy of Break the Cycle, 10 things you can do to stop reinforcing the past and get your trading on the right track. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.